Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. We're kicking off February with a look ahead to three novels being published over the next month. Joining me to talk us through them is someone certainly in the know, Alice O'Keefe, books editor for The Bookseller. Alice, welcome to the programme.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. Our first book today is The Doll Funeral by Kate Hamer, set in the 1980s. This thriller follows Ruby, a 13-year-old adopted girl about to set out on the search for her parents. Alice, the fact this is a thriller, I suppose, suggests it's not going to be, you know, a straightforward quest for the character. Tell us a little bit then about the journey that The Doll Funeral takes us on.
Okay, well, it opens on Ruby's 13th birthday, and in 1983, as you said. And it's a very significant day for her because it's the day she finds out that she's actually adopted, and the people who she thought were her parents, who she had a very, well, particularly with her father, had a very difficult relationship with, she finds out they're not her real parents, and she's absolutely elated because she knows her real parents must be out there somewhere. Mm. And she sort of sets off to track them down. And she's a very unusual girl, Ruby. It's interesting that you described it as a thriller, because in some ways it is a thriller, but also that implies that it's very kind of tense with lots and twists and turns. But this is also a beautifully written, very literary book. And yes, Ruby Flood is an amazing heroine. She's a very interesting girl. It sort of transpires that she can see and hear things that other people can't. And part of this sort of gift that she has is actually what's really upset her stepfather. And he's very sort of violent towards her. And the things that Ruby can see that Mick, that's her stepfather, and Barbara can't. She can see a small boy called Shadow, who sometimes follows her around and sometimes disappears. And she's seen a woman in a yellow dress hanging upside down in a car. And it's not clear from the outset whether she's really seen these things or whether they're figments of her imagination. So there's a very sort of big mystery here. And then there's also there's a dual narrative as well, because as we're moving through 1983 with Ruby, the novel also moves back to 1970, where there's a woman, a young woman, who has just discovered, she's not married, she's discovered that she's pregnant and that she has a very difficult choice to make. And obviously, those two strands tie up in the end, but I don't want to spoil it for your listeners, because it is a book with lots of sort of, not exactly twists, but, you know, you're thinking one thing and then something else is revealed. Mm. And it sort of changes.
So complexities. And I guess that those narrative perspectives are interesting. You mentioned there this sort of these mysterious characters. Mm. What do you think, having those, I guess, these sort of slightly different perspectives, what's the reality, what isn't, mm. the chronological differences? Mm. What does having those different perspectives offer, do you think, to the reader?
It's just really beautifully written. And I think, I don't know if you're familiar with Kate Hamer's first novel, which was shortlisted for the Costa First Novel Award and the Crime Writers Association debut novel award. But there's a real sense of fairy tales, and her novels have a sort of magical timeless quality, which sounds really odd because we've just been talking about how it's grounded in the 80s. Mm. And the 70s.
So, now, it's interesting, you mentioned Hamer's debut novels, The Girl. Mm. In the Red Coat, I think.
That's it, yes.
And again, some similar themes. Mm. Children separated from parents.
Yes.
This idea of kind of going on a journey.
Yes.
What's interesting here, I suppose, is this the mark of a skilled writer, someone who can handle those sorts of plots well? What is it about, I don't know, is it Hamer's literary approach, or just this, as you said, this almost old-fashioned storytelling that makes those narratives seem to be something that works so
yeah,
well?
I think it's a perennial narrative, really. I mean, the story of somebody setting off to find something or discover something is, you know, as old as literature itself. Mm. So it, on the one hand, it's sort of a trope in a way, but then with someone as talented as Kate Hamer, it becomes fresh and new. And I mean, it's completely compelling, this novel. It really is very, very, you know, she really sort of drives the narrative. Mm. Forward. It's not one of those sort of literary wafty novels. It's really kind of compelling. You're really pulled through. And she does write, I mean, thus far, yes, she's very much concentrated on the mother-daughter relationship. And I think the way she explores that, she has explored that in both novels, is very interesting. How, you know, I know she's spoken about how motherhood can both make you and unmake you, in a sense. So it's very interesting, and I look forward to her third novel.
Well, I was going to ask briefly about that, because it's her second novel, as you mentioned. But she's written a number of short stories, I think, as well. What do you think what should we anticipate next? Or do you think she's got enough in her personal literary canon to keep us guessing what Act 3 might be like?
Yes, I mean, I know it's very hard to predict what novelists will do next. And that's what makes them so exciting, you know. You can't really ever predict, I don't think.
Maybe we shouldn't. That's the wrong question to ask you. Our listeners can judge for themselves. The Doll Funeral's out on February 16th, published by Faber and Faber. Let's move on now to another book out a little later this month. Why should we be looking forward to A Line Made by Walking by the Irish writer Sarah Baumalis?
Well, Sarah Baum is an enormously exciting young talent. She was shortlisted for her debut novel, which was Spill, Simmer, Falter, Wither, which is, you know, a huge achievement to be shortlisted for the Costa. And she got amazing reviews for that book. And one of the comments that in the reviews that really struck me was that the book hums with its own distinctiveness. And that's really something you can say about her second novel as well. She's a very unique writer. And she's actually an artist. So she's a visual artist as well as a writer. And this novel is the story of Frankie, who is a 25-year-old artist and has struggled to kind of cope with her life in Dublin. So she retreats to the countryside to stay in her grandmother's cottage, which has been empty for 3 years. Her grandmother died. And you're not clear really throughout the novel whether she's having quite a serious breakdown or whether it's a sort of a quarter-life crisis. But what she does, Frankie, while she's living in this cottage is she's an art graduate and she's trying to be an artist. So what she does is she is taking long walks in the countryside and she is observing the tiny, tiny little sort of wonders of the natural world. And she's photographing. I mean, in fact, the photographs are in the novel as well. So while she's wondering whether she'll ever be an artist, she's actually creating a work of art herself. And also throughout the novel, what I found fascinating is woven in are little descriptions of real life conceptual artworks. And when I spoke to Sarah about it, she explained that Frankie had been an art student and now she'd finished, she'd left education. So she was sort of testing herself what she could remember of these artists. But it's a really fascinating sort of woven thread of the novel, and it makes the whole thing a sort of really powerful meditation on art and loneliness and finding one's place in the world as an artist and sort of what does art mean, which it all sounds terribly kind of high flown and difficult, but it's a really accessible literary novel, and the character of Frankie is wonderful, and it's sort of based, I understand, on Sarah's own experiences. She also graduated at the same time as Frankie into a recession where there weren't really jobs, and there's a whole, I think particularly in Ireland, you know, with the recession, and there was sort of a generation of people who'd done everything right and gone through education and came out and there were no jobs.
Well, this was this sort of amazing post-Celtic time when they felt like the kind of ladder had been kicked away.
Absolutely.
It's really interesting what you say there about this idea of, you know, the art and writing about art, which is quite an interesting area. I wonder, in terms of the picture then of, I guess it's mainly a sort of rural Ireland, is it a very visual novel? I mean, it may seem like a stupid question, but it's interesting in the hands of an artist as well as a writer.
Yes, yeah, you can. I've met a few authors who are also visual artists, and I think it does lend a certain quality to their writing. They're very sort of precise about the words, although you could say that all writers should do that. But throughout the novel, she's also, Frankie is, while she's living in this cottage in rural Ireland, she's sort of trying to understand her own world. But also, you see how art helps people understand the world in a much kind of broader way. So, yeah, it was a really fascinating. I mean, personally, I love novels where you sort of finish them more intelligent than when you started. You know, you feel...
I'm constantly zipping those. I need help in that regard. A Line Made by Walking by Sarah Baum is out on the 23rd of February. It's published by William Heinemann. Our final book, Stay With Me, is the debut novel by Ayobami Adebayo. It takes us to 1980s Nigeria. It evolved from a short story that she wrote after a friend passed away back in 2008. Alice, tell us a little bit then about the kind of broad themes here. Is it, again, is this a sort of a meditation on love and heartbreak and loss? What's the idea here?
This is a terrific debut. I spend a lot of time reading debut novels, and I was just thrilled with this one. She's a Nigerian writer, as you mentioned, and it's set in Nigeria. And it works on so many different levels, this debut. I was really impressed. I do know that she worked with both Adichie and Margaret Atwood as she sort of grew the novel from the original short story. But it's really wonderful. It's at its heart, I'd say, it's the story of the relationship between Yejidi and Akin, who are a couple who meet in Nigeria while Yejidi is at university, and they get married. And it, over the course of the novel, explores the sort of gradual falling apart, really, of the relationship due to childlessness. But I have to say, that sounds very depressing. It is very powerfully written, but it's also hilariously funny. It's one of the key themes I took from the novel was a protagonist who is a young, vibrant woman. You know, she has her own business and she's very independent, and she comes up against the sort of the elders. And there's lots of very amusing passages where they're constantly kind of suggesting ways she might conceive and making her do all these like ridiculous things. And she's such a kind of fierce, feisty sort of character. You completely fall for her, and you know, you're sort of with her all the way. So on the one hand, it's very moving. There is, which I won't reveal, that Akin is sort of hiding something, which when you get to the end of the novel and you find out what it is, sort of everything else falls into place. Another strand of the novel, which is very interesting, is the political unrest in Nigeria in the 80s, which I kind of vaguely knew about, but I didn't, you know, the way she writes about that unrest and the how the political impacts on the personal lives. There's one scene where they need to get a baby to hospital, and there's rioting in the streets, and it's, you know, it's really shocking. It kind of sort of brings home what the headlines, what they actually meant, you know, for real people.
I noticed on that point, I know as well that Adebayo has talked about how her inspiration was drawn from, you know, it's everyday scenes that she would see, whether that was, yeah, some of the moments of levity, which would be characters around the market. So do you feel you get a kind of a really colourful and very vibrant portrait of, you know, life in Nigeria during the 80s at
absolutely,
that time?
Absolutely. And it does, in fact, move forward in time as well to sort of late 2008. But you absolutely, I just felt that I knew Nigeria, you know, and as I said before, I love it where you actually learn something, you know, from a novel. And I got such a sense of colour and immersion in a world that, although it's familiar in many ways, it's unfamiliar in other ways. Mm. And I would really stress the sort of the humour in the novel, because I think to make novels funny and is much more difficult than it looks. So people always think that must be easier somehow than writing the, you know, the very serious. But I loved it. And as I said, the character of Yejidi is just, she's absolutely wonderful. You know, she carries the novel all the way through. And she has, like, it follows her over quite a long period of time. So, you know, she has lots of twists and sort of ups and downs in her life. But it's completely compelling.
Good fun being along for the ride. And I asked you a virtually impossible question, so I'll do another one to finish with. You mentioned a debut, and it must be wonderful, you know, reviewing books, reading books, when you read a great debut, because it's like, wow, what future does this hold? What do we think? Just can't wait already? Or what?
Yes, I'm really excited to read about whatever she comes up with next. And it's also great when... I'm always excited as well too when there's an author from a new... It seems to really inspire me when I read an author who's brilliant from a country. I think, who else is writing? And, you know, you sort of look out for other Nigerian voices, which is great. And I hope that publishers are doing the same and looking for... Because, you know, great writers come from all over.
Well, that's good. What another? That's another. It's a call to action as well to end on, which is always good to hear. The book is Stay With Me by Ayobami Adebayo. It's out on the 2nd of March. It's published by Canongate. And it brings it to the end of today's show. Thank you, Asuki, for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Tom Edwards. The show is produced by Holly Fisher and researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Thanks to all of them. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be talking films with Anna Smith. But for now, goodbye and thank you for listening.